Hey, my name is Petra Cruz, and I'm obsessed with all things birth, but especially VBAC. I am a birth doula and mom who had a vaginal birth after 3 cesareans. In this podcast, we dive deep into the inspirational world of vaginal birth after cesarean. In each episode, you'll hear inspiring VBAC stories, practical tips from professionals who've championed the VBAC cause, as well as my personal journey and how it might help you on yours. From mindset shifts to evidence-based practices, you'll leave each episode feeling inspired and informed. Get ready to soak in the wisdom, embrace the strength within, and join this incredible VBAC community. This is the VBAC Junkie Podcast. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Autumn McLeese, who is a seasoned birth educator, high performance coach, and has served as a birth doula for over 11 years, specializing in supporting women through VBACs. She is drawing from her personal experience of achieving a VBAC home birth. She is super dedicated to passionately empowering women for one of the most magnificent and impactful moments in their lives. We chatted about so much. We chatted about her birth stories and then some of the tips that she would give to moms on their VBAC journey. And there is just so much we talked about, like mindset towards labor and birth education and how birth has a long-lasting effect on us, whether we realize it or not. All right, let's get into this episode with Autumn.
Oh, well, thanks so much for having me. And it's so great to be here before your amazing audience. And I love that we all have something in common together. We're women clearly seeking how to have a VBAC, what that looks like. Maybe someone's even just coming here to be a bit more curious of what that would look like. And I really hope that that's the case, because my goal is to truly be able to encourage moms and help them become aware of the possibilities with their birth experience. If I would have just listened to the doctors, I would not have had the experience that I had, which was going from a C-section with my first to a VBAC home birth with my second. But if I would have listened, I wouldn't have had that experience, number one. And number two, I actually wouldn't be here sitting talking with you here today, because it sent me into becoming a birth worker. Those two experiences empowered me so much, ignited a fire within me that sent me into becoming a birth doula and then a birth educator. And so my story in a nutshell started with, like I was saying, my son, you know, just your typical maybe mom of just wanting a natural birth, you know, wanting a vaginal birth. I never thought for a second that I would wind up with a C-section. And, you know, getting closer to, I took a hospital birth class. I think that's worth noting, because in hospital birth classes, I'm very passionate about not taking hospital birth classes. And that's me. And the reason why is because they only tell you what they want you to know. And to me, I want to know so much more. I want to know about the rights of a laboring woman in the state in which I live in, which is California. I want to know different positions. I want to know, you know, all sorts of coping mechanisms and techniques. If I'm going to set out to conquer something, a goal, a desire that I have, which was natural birth, then I want to know everything I can so that I can prepare myself and then ultimately be able to achieve that. So, but anyway, I took a hospital birthing class. I didn't know anything back then. I just knew what the hospital told me, and I knew I wanted a natural birth and a vaginal birth. So that was it. So due date is getting closer and I am not dilated. In fact, they're already talking about induction, and I knew enough about induction to know that's not good. That would likely lead to other inductions and possibly a C-section. So I definitely don't want to get an induction. If I have to, I'd love to go naturally, but you know, the doctors, they have their timeline of when they want us to give birth, and the pressure was on and the stress was there. And I had a neighbor who had used acupuncture to kind of like help nudge things along in her birthing journey with her child. And so she referred me to this acupuncturist and saying, well, maybe you could, you know, kind of encourage things that way. Well, I'll recommend acupuncture off and on all the time, but it's not without the the note I must add with it that it, a lot of times it can be so helpful and great, but there is this aspect of acupuncture that comes with the possibility of you nudging your body to start something, and then the rest of your hormone systems and your cervix and everything else isn't quite on board. And unfortunately, that's the category I fell into. So here I was, you know, facing a potential induction. I decided to do acupuncture instead of an induction. And it, you could say it kind of turned the labor switch on, but my cervix was not on board yet. The rest of my body was not on board, even though I was contracting. And so I basically, long story short, went 13 to 14 hours with nothing more than dilating to one. And they started talking me into a C-section. And it was really upsetting. I didn't know what else I could do. My water had ended up breaking, which is why I was at the hospital. You know, I thought your water breaks and you just run to the hospital. And so I was there, body wasn't ready. And then they finally, you know, talked me into this C-section. And I left that experience feeling very, I had a grief that was kind of attached at that birth. Don't get me wrong, most amazing experience in the same token of like, I just had a baby, my beautiful baby boy. I'm elated, but the whole birthing side, what I had envisioned, what I had desired, and ultimately what I feared actually ended up taking place, which was that major abdominal surgery. And I also felt very disempowered. I felt shame. I had a bit of just a sadness that my body didn't seem to function. I guess I'm kind of broken, or I guess my baby was too big was part of what they told me as well. I'm too petite and my baby was too big, even though he was 6 pounds, 14 ounces. Apparently they claimed he was too big. And so, I took that experience and I got home and I still couldn't shake the fact that I was robbed of my birth experience. Like, what could I have done differently? And maybe there's a mom out there listening right now that's thinking that, like, what did I do or what didn't I know that could have changed things? And that is what I wanted to find out. In fact, when I went to my six week appointment, I was talking to the OB and I said, so what can I do on the next baby to have a VBAC? He was not really for me having a VBAC. He basically warned me and said I'd be walking on eggshells the next time I came in, and made it sound like any little hiccup would just ultimately result in another C-section because that was the safer way to go. And so I was really frustrated then. And actually months later, I just couldn't shake it. I ended up calling midwives. I called birth doulas and I wanted to learn what went wrong. Like, what did I do wrong? Where did I miss it? And so I learned some things, and then comes baby number two. And I wasn't really sure what I was going to do, but I knew I wanted to look into home birth or maybe just interview a midwife to learn everything that I could, because that seemed really extreme to me. I'm like, I don't know, I'm a VBAC mom. So my husband and I, and that's the key. I want to say this really quick, because I don't know how much you talk about home birth on this podcast, but so many women and clients that I have will say, oh, well, I would love to do a home birth, but my husband isn't on board. I guarantee, almost guarantee, the likely reason why the husband isn't on board is because the wife is telling the husband and talking to the husband about how she wants a home birth and passing along all the facts and information to him, but he needs to get his questions answered. You both, the couple has to ask the hard questions and to understand how that model of birth looks and how it works. so that you can fully understand. So that's what we did. We decided to go together. We ended up feeling so excited and confident in this midwife we were talking to, which you always want a midwife that has lots of experience under her belt. She's, you know, well-versed. She has many years of experience. And so we actually got the most, I call her the queen bee of all Southern California midwives. Like, she has been doing it forever. My daughter was her 880th home birth, just to give you an idea. But so all that to say, we talked to her. We felt more confident in her ability than even the OB. She knew more about a pregnant woman, a laboring woman, and newborns than anyone that I had ever met. So we decided to step into trying a home birth at home. And the reason why I say trying is because we could start off with her and have her team and my doula come and see how things go. You know, midwives, they're not trying to prove anything. They're not forcing you to stay home. That's not the model of midwifery at all. There's so much respect. There's so much love. There's so much just oversight, like wisdom that comes from these women that have all these tools and tricks and things up their sleeve that you never see an OB do. And they're more hands-on in the sense of, let's feel baby's positioning. Like, why is baby not dropping? Let's figure out why. And that can be one of the reasons why a mom might have a C-section, is because she has a malpositioned baby and baby's not able to engage in the birth canal. So long story short, went on to have an incredible home birth. Went so smooth, gave birth to my daughter in the water. And it was such a restorative experience for me personally. One thing I am big on is mindset. I work with my doula clients and I really like to dig in and talk about mindset. And I've also had doula clients where the C-section left them feeling, you know, left them doubting themselves. And that kind of sets you up. And I felt a little bit of that too. It kind of can set you up for your tone for motherhood. And some women adopt that and carry that through the rest of their life. And with my experience, when I say kind of restorative, I mean that I was able to kind of reclaim that just like God-given empowerment that comes with you being in charge of pushing your own baby out. And that was very healing to me. And then it also obviously empowered me to become a birth doula, go into birth education, and now here I am. So that is more or less my story.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I feel like sometimes I should change the podcast name to like Mindset for VBAC, because we talk so much about mindset. You know, people get so caught up on, I have to do the chiropractic, I have to eat all the dates, I have to drink the raspberry leaf tea, which is great, of course. But it's not, it shouldn't be the main focus, because so much of our birth, I feel like, translates from our mindset. And so you obviously had this amazing home birth. Did you do anything, or I should say, what did you do differently in this birth to prepare for that, whether it was physically, mentally, emotionally? What was that?
Well, the first thing I did differently, I got, you know, busy understanding VBAC. So the first thing I did was actually I attended a VBAC seminar. Even before I was pregnant, I wanted to learn. I wanted to get down to the hard science. VBACfacts.com, Jen, she did the seminar and I attended. So that was key, because my doctor had also quoted me at that 6-week appointment. He quoted me a wrong statistic on the percentage of women that end up in uterine rupture due to VBACs. And that was a much higher statistic than what truly was scientifically the case. And that's really frustrating too, because we depend upon our doctors to have the science right and to give us information that we are going to base our decisions on. And this this doctor quoted it wrong. And so when I went to this seminar, I mean, she had all the science articles and the facts and everything. And I was writing and taking notes like crazy. And I'm like, this is not at all what I was told. So education is key, number one. Number two, even though it was my second, which kind of felt like my first because I'd not had a vaginal birth yet, and that still involved a lot of things that I was going to have to assume and I was going to have to take on and I was going to have to endure. So I signed up for a natural birth out of hospital birth class. And then after that, it was just more about me reading. And I watched like natural birth videos. My midwife had some. I would get on YouTube and watch some. I really tried to mentally prepare myself with the understanding of what birth is. Birth is not an emergency. Birth is not a procedure. And I really needed to understand, not fear it, and embrace it that it's a miraculous gift that I get to be a part of. And not all women get to be a part of that. And I remind my doula clients sometimes, you know, in the early swings of labor, like, I'm so proud of you. This is so amazing. This is such a gift. There's so many women that would love to be able to conceive and might not be able to. And you're getting to feel every bit of this and endure this, and you're going to have a little one in your hands, and it's all so worth it. So just books and really trying to vicariously live through other women in watching their experience and really journaling and thinking about, this is going to be me and I can do this, and just working through all that.
That is beautiful. And I love how you said you were like vicariously living through these women that you were watching these videos on, because I literally did the same thing. I was like watching them and envisioning that that was me, that I was, that was happening to me. Like, I envisioned what it looked like, what it smelled like, what it felt like, you know, every single feeling. And I, for me, that helped so much to try to imagine that, that exact scenario, because I personally had had three cesareans before I had my vaginal birth. So that's all I knew was laying on a table and having my baby, you know, pulled out of me. So that in the beginning was really hard to imagine, but doing like that daily practice of just like envisioning yourself and just really sitting with those feelings in quiet, and with kids, obviously sometimes that's hard to do. So finding like 5 minutes here and there to just sit with those feelings, I feel like can be so transformational.
Absolutely. And kudos to you, man, girl, like high five, because like, wow, that's an amazing story right there.
Yeah. I mean, it was not easy, you know, and that's why I feel like I am so passionate about this, because I felt so much negativity, so much like no to little support besides like my husband and like a handful of family members. And it felt like the world was against me. And I know even for some women who have only had one cesarean, it can feel that way too, depending on where they live and, you know, just their circumstances. But it is possible, you know, just gaining that like community and living vicariously through women on YouTube videos or whatever it is, you know, is so helpful, more helpful than you might even be realizing.
Absolutely. And you're an overcomer. Like, you overcame so much. And when you overcome and you get to look back on everything, like, it just really does amazing things for not only your skill sets in whatever that arena is, but like for our mindset and just who we are and our belief in ourselves. It really can carry forth into our future in like so many ways that we might not even give it enough credit for. Like OBs, I don't think they realize like how much influence they have over women and like that moment and how it can kind of make or break us. I've seen it break some women, and they're looking for that restorative experience to reclaim back you know, some of who they are and who they thought they were. And we should not, first of all, we should not give them that type of power, but we've also never been through this before. And then women aren't talking about it. So they don't know, they just kind of live with it. And so, yeah, that's huge. And just watching, like you're saying, like watching births, you know, we say birth is like a marathon, right? And so we can't go and practice like you can prepare for a marathon. It's not quite the same, but, and just like a marathon runner, like they don't know what the weather's going to be like, you know? And so in the same type of way, birth is like that. We can't practice, but there's ways we can get as close to it as we can, or get, you know, ice cubes out, or, you know, for the pain, mimicking the pain, or like, I would like, go get like some massages. And when they'd hit like a really good spot that needed some releasing, I would really practice. And I love stretching and massages for this aspect. Like when I sit in a stretch that's really painful, it's good practice for the mind. And I still do this because birth like literally set me up to endure so many other hard things in life. But it's good practice to sit there and realize, okay, my body's in pain. It's not a bad type of pain. It's a good type of pain. And actually, the more I relax and let this just be and take my mind to other places or do something that just calms my mind. And, you know, it's a getting used to yourself with how does your mind work and how do you respond to that? But the more you can get used to it, then you can actually have beautiful results from it in the stretching department, or in if you're getting a massage, but then it's also great preparation for labor too.
Exactly. Exactly. And I feel like that's helpful too, to like, if you're focusing on your breathing, mm-hmm. during like those stretches or those uncomfortable moments, or even like, say you stub your toe and you're like, oh my gosh, that hurts. Take a deep breath. Really hone in on your breath, you know, to try to get through that. And that's like a great practice, like with anything that happens in your daily life, I feel like. And just remembering that it's not going to last forever. It really is temporary.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And oh my gosh. So I love that you are now a doula and your birth experiences have like kind of catapulted you into this, because I'm the same way. Like I had this transformative birth experience and it just drew me into becoming a doula, and this fire has been lit inside of me to help other women through this, educate them, or just, you know, give them the tools that I wish I had. So what do you feel like is the best way for them to kind of deal with, I guess, like those long lasting effects that they've had from their previous birth going into their next birth? Like as a doula, how would you help your clients through that?
Well, I like to start with the quote Henry Ford said, if you think you can, or you think you can't, you're right. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest thing that I think some women need to kind of disentangle is their belief in themselves. So they obviously hire me usually by this point. They have decided they want this. They want this for themselves. They might still be lacking in some areas of, you know, belief in themselves, or, oh, I hope I can endure the pain, or they might have some trauma or some fear surrounding from their past experience. And so the first thing we dive into is just like what their past birth looked like, and kind of working through some of the things, because, you know, they didn't have a birth doula. They had usually some sort of like unaccommodating doctor. Sometimes a really, you know, crabby nurse that was thrown in the mix. And we talk through some of the things that they might have been unaware of, that I let them know, like, okay, here's how we can change just that scenario. Like, these are your options. Like, number one, you could have fired your nurse and gotten a different one. And then we go into all the other aspects of like just options. And oftentimes, like myself, because I didn't know, you know, I sat in the bed for those 13 to 14 hours because my water was broken. I didn't know. I could have said, thank you for your advice, but I'm actually going to walk around, or I'm actually going to switch positions in the bed. Okay, I'll stay in the bed, but I'm going to switch positions. So we go through and help them understand a bit about how that could have looked differently if they would have had like a doula there. I'll usually also at some point, usually later, but I want to bring it up now, you know, bring up the option of birthing at home or birthing in a birth center where their model of care is often and mostly in that paradigm of birth is, you know, all respect and love and support and belief from the practitioner, which is the midwife, that is, you know, helping you have your baby. And some midwives deliver hands-on, some let you deliver. So we'll work through that. And then we basically just kind of explore some of their fears, the root of that fear. Did they have something that just specifically happened in that experience? Is it actually rooted to something back farther in life? How they felt like they tolerated the labor in what little bit they maybe experienced. And then we look into what they want to accomplish and what that looks like and what that game plan looks like. So we'll talk about, you know, how this can look differently. And if their body did this last time, which it's always a little tricky because every pregnancy is so different. You never can assume that the body's going to do, you know, what it did last time or could do something totally different. And so we'll look into just ultimately their goals, what they want to accomplish, how that's going to look different from last time. We're going to do our best to really take that on a different path. And then we just, all the other tips that I have for essentially, you know, having the most, your best chance at a successful VBAC that you can have. So education, of course, books, I give them things, I encourage them to watch, you know, the videos, all those things that we talked about. Some of the things that I did, I pass that along to them.
I love that. And I think that is really important to, like you said, about, you know, processing like previous traumas, because even like a trauma or a trauma response could be rooted in something that happened in their childhood or when they were a teenager or before they ever had kids. Because I know personally that happened with me and I didn't even realize it until like I dove into planning my VBAC. I didn't realize all my like people pleasing tendencies were rooted in feeling like I didn't have a choice, a voice when I was younger because of certain traumatic experiences I went through. So yeah, I mean, like we're not going to heal all a whole life's worth of traumas in 9 months, but you know, just like realizing that and gaining like some tools along the way to try to process through that so that they don't go into their birth having something happen in their birth that triggers that trauma, you know, and it just creates just like this cascade of emotions and triggers and fear and so much more. But
that's,
I think
that,
yeah, it's beautiful that you mentioned that because I don't think many people realize that. And it's so important to like get it out or even just recognize it so that you can deal with it or, you know, talk to somebody about it, write it down, just get it out of you so it doesn't feel like this dark cloud above you, which is like, I'm speaking about myself. That's the way it felt, you know, just like this dark cloud where I didn't have a voice. I had to listen to my doctor. They knew more than me, you know.
Yeah,
but
and
not true.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's one of the things that I tell my doula clients is like, you get to boss us around. Like we're here for you. So the last thing I want to be doing is like some, you know, what I think is like some coping mechanism or I'm doing or touching you or doing something in some way that is annoying and causing you to lose your distraction. So I tell them like, okay, you know, you need to have communication with me. You need to tell me or your significant other if something is not working or if it doesn't feel good. But back to the traumas, you know, sometimes women don't expect that. They may have had, and my heart goes out to you if you're someone like this, but this is all in, you know, good awareness and intentionality to just ultimately help you get to that place where you have the birth that you want. But you know, any sort of like sexually based trauma that happened anytime previous to a birth experience, giving birth can be, not always, but can be a trigger because it's such a vulnerable moment and just thing in life where you have an audience of people. And unfortunately, more in the hospital setting, which you'll hear me talk about often, I wish women were respected more in the hospital, and they're just not. And I wish that would change. It just all depends upon the OBGYN. So, you know, that could be a trigger, just the rough handling and, you know, kind of almost can be like a demeaning nature of the authority figure. And so but even if you have a home birth, and not to say the home birth couldn't bring all that up as well.
Right.
You do have more respect, you know, oftentimes, and they are usually more gentle. But just the sake of what is happening to your body is just very vulnerable. And it is a life transformative moment that a lot of us don't even understand the power of that moment until it's like done. And we're just like forever changed. We're never the same. And so just, yeah, being mindful, working through any sort of past history stuff that involves traumas in that way would be extra helpful so that it doesn't come up and stare you right in the face when you're in your vulnerable moment of labor.
Exactly. And you know how we talk about like just certain decisions can have a long lasting effect that you might not even have realized, because I've gone through so many things in my life. And over time, you know, they either broke me down or built me up.
Yeah.
And so many of like the first three birth experiences I had, I felt broken down each time, you know, in different ways, just because so many decisions were made for me. And I didn't feel like I was able to play an active role in decision making because I didn't realize I had options, you know. And I just want to emphasize, like we're talking about, you have options no matter what, you know, even if your doctor says, no, this is not a smart decision. This is terrible, actually, because I know I got told that when I was planning my VBAC, you know, because I had already had three cesareans and everyone said, this is dangerous. What you're doing is dumb. Your baby can die. You can die. You know, all of the negativity, but no facts, no, like, this is your body. This is your choice. So just realizing that, and not to say like, just go against all, you know, medical advice, because sometimes there is a legitimate reason for a cesarean, you know, because of your health. But even if there is, just knowing that you still have a choice, like you can still decide which route you go and dictate that, because it is your body and your birth experience. Like, nobody's going to remember this experience in the depth that you are. Your doctor will probably have, you know, I don't even know, they have like hundreds of women that they see in their practice. So they may not even, and I don't say this to be mean, but they're probably not going to remember your birth, like at all. So yeah.
No, definitely not. Way too many. It's kind of a conveyor belt of women. And you know, that's just how it is. But you know, there are ways to make it still a pleasant experience. And that's where hiring a birth doula, or even something I wanted to make sure and bring up in our interview. I don't know if you talked about much, but it is the concept of having a midwife as your monitrice. And so basically what that looks like is, and this has been a great option for some clients. So they're kind of like at the place where they don't want a home birth, but they like don't want to be at the hospital too soon. And a doula, you know, we're not like legally allowed to check or do any, you know, vaginal checks or any health type related things. And so, but oftentimes you can hire a midwife to be what we just call your monitrice. And I don't know what the price is, but around here in Southern California, it's usually like roughly about $1,000, or maybe some of them might like, you know, do an hourly wage. But you call them when you're in labor and they come over to monitor you. So they monitor you, they monitor baby, they'll do vaginal checks, they'll tell you how dilated you are. You know, they can palpate baby, see what position he or she is in. So that's a beautiful option that I love to highlight for, you know, couples that, you know, have decided on the hospital, but they, and that would be a great for a VBAC mom, because the goal obviously is to stay home, stay out of the hospital as much as possible for so many reasons. But still be looked over to make sure, you know, everything looks safe.
Exactly. And I love that you mentioned that, because I don't think that we've ever mentioned that in here. And that is such a valuable thing to know, because not everybody knows that. Like, I never even knew that when I was pregnant with any of my kids. I didn't learn that until I became a doula and started learning, you know, super in depth about birth and midwives and the hospital system and all that stuff. So yes, if you are looking into that, but you know, you don't want to have a home birth and you still want a hospital birth, definitely reach out to your local midwife and see if they offer that, because the majority of them do, but I mean, it obviously depends on where exactly you're located too. So yes, definitely look into that. Well, I want to thank you so much, Autumn. I mean, is there anything that you would love to like leave the audience with before I let you go?
I want to go through my 6 tips on what I say would really be helpful in having a VBAC.
Awesome. All right. Let's do it.
Tip number one is, and we kind of talked about some of these, but research, educate yourself, even go as far as what I did. Talk with midwives, talk with doulas, go to a VBAC seminar, or definitely go look up VBACfacts.com. Number two, get an out of hospital birth class. Hopefully one that, you know, is led by someone that is knowledgeable and going to share all the extra good stuff. So maybe you can, you know, ask around, get some good recommendations. And then obviously look for birth support. A doula is going to be your best bet, especially when birthing in a hospital. But maybe look at the Monitrice option. Maybe go interview a midwife. You never know. Like, there's so many times where moms think, oh, I'm too late. And it's like, well, you're 33 weeks or you're 30, you know, 9 weeks, you know, like midwives often take moms, if they have room, they'll take on a mom late in the game. So go check that out, explore that option. But if not, I mean, obviously, definitely do your due diligence in looking for an OB that is supportive and has a good track record for allowing for VBACs. And that can be a little harder said than done. You might actually want to connect with local midwives or birth doulas to kind of ask about what they have heard as far as OBs, with which ones are more supportive of VBACs. Number four, do your mental and mindset work before labor. You can't start too early, in my opinion. Natural birth is the safest option and the likely going to be the most successful for you to have your VBAC. I mean, not to say it's impossible, but if you can shoot for natural. So just all the education and groundwork that needs to be laid for you to truly understand what your body's going to be going through, that it's an exciting adventure, not anything fearful, not anything harmful to you or baby. And so, and obviously working through any past traumas and all of that. I do say chiropractic and or possibly seeing a holistic doctor, just because, like you, we were saying, chiropractors, they can help make sure baby is, at least we have one here that's really great. He has this slight little maneuver. It doesn't even look like he's doing anything, but he has naturally been able to encourage, just with this one maneuver, encourage babies to turn from breech to, you know, to anterior and, or not anterior, well, head down, we'll just say. And then holistic doctor, one of the reasons why women obviously can wind up with a C-section is because babies breech. And one of the reasons why babies can be breech is because you have low thyroid function. So if you have low thyroid function, I always advocate for natural holistic practitioners versus medications and things like get to the root, get to the bottom. Why do you have low thyroid function? And ultimately that can, they say, I guess scientifically as well, backed that your baby can have a lower IQ if mom has a lower thyroid function. So if you have had a breech baby before, might be something to look into, especially if you're planning a VBAC. And then the last two, when you get to the hospital, move. Like, don't stay put. Do your research on that. Hopefully you've got a good birth class. But I sat in the bed, like I said, and if I would have just been able to move more, things might have looked differently. I was just lacking the awareness. And if I would have known better, then I would have been able to do better. I guess it's actually seven, I think, here. And then lastly, that we didn't talk about, but just surrender. Just give it to God when all is said and done, because there is only so much we can do. And we don't know the outcome. So you also need to be okay with another C-section. And you don't want to go into this birth experience unprepared. You want to be prepared. But you also don't want to be unrealistic that maybe you've done everything you can. And maybe just things aren't, going the way that you had hoped for or intended. And you do wind up with another C-section. And so we don't want you to grieve that circumstance. If you did feel like that sense of grief, like I did, we don't want you to grieve that the same way as your first one. It's a completely different situation. And you did so much more to prepare. It just, for whatever reason, things went a different direction. So that's about it for that. I'm all about knowing better so that you can do better. That's actually, I have a podcast that's mostly focused on health. And so, that's what I'm all about, is just awakening women to the options, the education, and the awareness so that they can take charge and a little bit more ownership of their lives and their circumstances, and not fall prey or just, be susceptible to their circumstances, that are not in their favor.
Yes, I love that. And thank you for mentioning your podcast. I was going to throw a plug in there because I've listened to a few of your episodes and oh my gosh, everybody needs to go and listen to her podcast. Like she said, it's called Know Better, Do Better with Autumn McLees. And it is so good. It is about more than just birth. It's about health, of course, birth and beyond. There's so many valuable tips in there, and it's going to kind of help you realize looking at the body and looking at everything as a whole, not just it's this thing, and everything's in a little perfect box. No, it's this whole, I love it. So go and listen to her podcast. It is amazing.
You're so sweet. Yeah. I mentioned my health journey, and I've been on a health journey for quite some time, and birth and health are my two passions. And so I would say it's mostly challenging the status quo when it comes to holistic alternative modalities and approaches to wellness. But we obviously talk about, knowing better and doing better in some other areas, sometimes birth. We also had an episode on how to straighten teeth naturally, for your kids. And that's a whole mind blowing, episode. So anyway, it's been so much fun. And I love having people like yourself, podcast and birthing sisters here to connect with and have these conversations with.
Yes, me too. So thank you so much for joining me today and adding so much value to this amazing community. Just thank you. And I cannot wait to see more episodes and see what you create, because it's so valuable.
Thanks so much, girl. I feel the same for you. I'm fully supporting your mission here and your amazing audience. And kudos to you for being so strong and for getting the word out about this incredibly important topic that more women need to know about and be empowered with.
Thank you. I so agree. Thanks. Until next time. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the VBAC Junkie podcast. Make sure to leave a rating and subscribe to the show so that you don't miss an episode. And also, I have a free gift for you. If you would like to have a guide on how to prepare for a VBAC, head to my website at www.birthingcometrue.com/VBAC guide. And all of this will be in the show notes, so you can just click that link and head there and download this free guide. I hope you have an amazing week. Until next time, bye.